This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The United Way of Greater Winona closed its doors at the end of December, citing several years of declining donations. The organization has provided funding and volunteers for nonprofit agencies from Winona County in Minnesota and Buffalo and Trumbull counties in Wisconsin. Now these programs and other regional United Ways are working to make up the difference. Joining us today are Mary Kay Wolf, Executive Director of Great Rivers United Way in La Crosse, Dale Carls, Communications Coordinator for Western Dairyland, a community action agency based in Independence that's been served by the United Way of Greater Winona, and Tita Utuck, CEO of Family and Children's Center, another former partner agency of the Winona United Way. And so, Mary Kay, I know you're obviously not with the Winona United Way, but, you know, I wonder if you can kind of give me a little bit of an update of what you've heard now that, you know, the Winona United Way has officially closed.
I'd be happy to give you an update. As of about a month ago, maybe less than a month ago now, Olmsted County United Way did vote to take on the Winona County area that United Way was covering. La Crosse, or Great Rivers United Way, agreed to take Buffalo County and Trumbull County. So Olmsted County, although they agreed to take on the Winona County service area, they are probably not going to do anything just yet. They're going to do some research and some market research and figure out what the best steps are for them as the new United Way in Winona County.
And as you mentioned that, you know, Great Rivers United Way kind of stepped up to the plate to take Buffalo and Trumbull County. And now did that factor into, you know, this year's the new campaign?
You know, it didn't really, because there wasn't a lot of time to make any sort of really quick adjustments that way. We did meet with Western Dairyland, the action organization that is in Trumbull and Buffalo County. And as far as what the board and what United Way, Great Rivers United Way, has decided to do, we are certifying partners again in the spring of 2016. So Western Dairyland will go through that. And then we just moved to two-year funding. So even though they would most likely be certified as a new partner, they wouldn't be eligible for funding in the fall. However, it looks like we may make a special dispensation for that, just because you were kind of left. so we'll be doing that. But in terms of raising money for the campaign, the current campaign, there just wasn't enough time to really take a hard look at it and make inroads in Trumbull and Buffalo counties next year, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I kind of want to take a step back. You know, Winona United Way said they first began, you know, looking at possibly closing last spring after several months of what they said was intensive community outreach, you know, talking with donors, partner agencies, community stakeholders. They cited years of increased challenges and declining campaigns. And so, you know, Dale at Western Dairyland, I don't know, were you guys kind of surprised when you heard that Winona United Way was kind of thinking of making
Definitely. That came as a surprise. It's not unheard of. I mean, I have talked to a lot of other nonprofits in other states where United Ways have either merged with one another. That did happen up north. Eau Claire and Chippewa counties merged to form the United Way of the Greater Chippewa Valley. So there they took on two counties instead of each serving one. And I've heard of other United Ways as far away as Florida who have merged with other counties too. So it is happening. I'm not sure why. I know there are more community foundations out there, and there are more places for individuals to give to. And just from observing the United Ways in the area, Winona was probably the smallest one in terms of staff and the number of partner agencies they had.
It does get harder and harder when you only have one and a half staff or one staff. It's hard to keep up that energy level and do fundraising with one person. Superior, Wisconsin, and Duluth, Minnesota also merged in the last, I think, year and a half. So.
And I can't say enough good things about the Winona United Way. Their board of directors was wonderful to work with. Going back to Jeff, their executive director, and Robin, they were great to work with. They really made an effort to reach out to us across the river in Wisconsin and gave us a lot of opportunities to meet with them, become part of their community, even though we we are not in Winona. They covered two of our counties, and they really came out and met us out there and gave us a lot of opportunities to become part of the communities that they serve.
Yeah, and Mary Kay, I definitely want to, you know, later in the conversation return to, you know, how funding has changed. But, you know, Dale, I wonder with this most recent change, you know, can you, I guess, kind of quantify what this means for Western Dairyland? You know, what has the Winona United Way closing kind of meant for your organization?
Well, first and foremost, it was funding. It's a cut to our funding. But that's a story we've heard before. Historically, Western Dairyland has been funded by federal and state grants. That's the bulk of our funding. But that has not kept up with inflation. It has not kept up with our growth. So we are constantly trying to do more or at least maintain our services with less money. And we've had to turn to United Ways, private foundations, community foundations, individual donations to keep some of these programs afloat. So right now we have two programs that have received funding from the Winona United Way, and we're searching for that money somewhere else. You know, we're looking at certain people, the Great Rivers United Way, and hoping that we can form a relationship with you. But we're going to keep looking elsewhere, too. So right now, we're in limbo. The programs are not going to go away because we have some stable funding, but they could be diminished a bit. Staff could be cut, at least temporarily. But at this, we're going to keep looking.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about how regional nonprofits could be impacted by the closing of the United Way of Greater Winona. We're here with Dale Carls from Western Dairyland and Tita Utuck from Family and Children's Center, both former partner agencies of the now-closed Winona United Way, and Mary Kay Wolf from the Great Rivers United Way in La Crosse. And Tita, I want to go to you. You know, Family and Children's Center obviously is in several different areas. You know, how has your organization been impacted by the closing of the Winona United Way?
Similar to Western Dairyland, Family and Children's Center will lose funding. And in the past year, it was about $18,000 that they were generous enough to give us for two programs specifically, Maddie's Place and our outpatient counseling. So we're going to be looking at trying to figure out how to do more with less, you know, and looking to find funding elsewhere. The programs are not going to close, so we're going to have to go back to our generous donors and corporate foundations and into the community to look to see if there's some folks that will continue to partner with us and maybe give a little bit more to help us make the ends meet.
Yeah, and I know that the United Way, you know, has typically depended on corporate donors and you know, donations through, you know, businesses from employees. And so I wonder if you're still seeing, you know, the same kind of amounts of corporate donations or donations from businesses or if your funding models are changing a little bit.
Oh, I think you always have to keep up with the times, and what's old is new again, and we go through cycles of funding, and so I think it's always important to remain fresh, continue to knock on doors, new doors, old friends, and trying to make new friends and new partners. We look at businesses and the local media and radio stations, and we look at corporate foundations, and then individual donors who want to support the community that they live in. These are very worthy programs, and they need funding in order to continue. And so we're continually trying to find new money streams and resources to help us.
Yeah, Mary Kay, I wonder if you have thoughts on, I don't know, how you guys have changed, I guess, or if you have changed the way that you guys seek funding from corporations, from private donors, you know, et cetera.
We absolutely have changed, actually. We are in a big transition right now because we've gone from the traditional model of only doing an annual campaign, which we're just wrapping up right now. And we've added to that, though. We've got that traditional model and that traditional vehicle of raising money and then allocating it out. But the new things that we've tried are some collaborative grants that we've written to the state of Wisconsin United Way is the fiscal agent for that. Those grants that were awarded, we are we've written grants to local foundations in terms of bringing together other programs and other agencies together into one collaborative. So we're looking at diversifying the funding in grant writing and in bringing on new programs that we would be facilitating and convening others to the table, and that's a big change. And that's part of what I think United Ways across the country need to do, is to add to what they're doing and to change how they're doing some things. And some of the smaller United Ways don't have the ability to make those changes. Again, when you're small staffed, you can really only focus on one thing. And I think United Ways, in order to survive, have to change with the times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and United Way has, you know, always been kind of seen as an umbrella organization for charitable programs. And, you know, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about why that's important for a community to kind of have this umbrella.
Well, it's a great question, and I appreciate the opportunity to answer it, because I think people forget that it's not just about raising the money and turning around and giving it away. It's really about giving it away with some accountability. And that's the part that a donor doesn't necessarily have the accountability when it gives directly to an organization, which I would never suggest that they not give to an organization. But with United Way, it's truly an investment, because we follow up on the programs that do get funding. And we bring those partners together and get them to network and get them to try and work together, which they do well anyway. But this is just another vehicle for them to do it together. A lot of social issues that are huge cannot be solved by one organization or one program. And so United Way is key in bringing a lot of different programs together to try to address those big social needs as one moving amoeba, if you will. So that's what we see our role as. So not only just bringing everybody together, but then monitoring the programming and the funding that goes with those programs. So we check to make sure they're meeting their goals. We check to make sure that, you know, the outcomes they said that they would reach are being reached. And if not, why not? And how can we help to make that happen? Mm-hmm. So it's more than money.
And Dale, you know, I know that you mentioned earlier that, since the closing of the Winona United Way, you guys are kind of looking at, you know, different kinds of funding models and opportunities. And so I wonder if you can talk a little bit about, first, how long has your organization, been partnering with United Way? And kind of when did that, I guess, partnership start?
That's a good question, because we do partner with more than one United Way, because we serve four counties. So we have actually worked with the United Way of the Greater Chippewa Valley, the Winona area, St. Croix Valley, and actually the Marshfield area United Way. All of those serve a little bit of our service area, so it really gets complicated that way. But going back to what you said about it's more than just the money, the United Way, sometimes I look at it as a kind of a seal of approval. When I put it on a brochure or a website and people can see that, it makes them feel better about us as an organization, knowing that maybe we've been vetted a little bit. And also the networking I've seen lately has been very useful, bringing different nonprofits together and the events. I know up in Chippewa Falls they have the community block party. Mm-hmm. Winona had what they called their Super Bowl. Did you go to that also?
The Super Bowl was amazing.
Yeah, just all of the different nonprofits that received funding made a soup of their choice and entered into a contest and sold tickets. And the whole community came out to support that. And it really built a stronger community and, again, allowed us to be part of it. So that was very useful, too. In terms of replacing the funding, like you mentioned earlier, we're just going to have to diversify. The United Way is now looking at grants. We are now looking at private donations.
Sure.
Kind of the opposite. But if we're diversified, we'll be okay in the long run. But this loss is going to hurt for this coming year.
Yeah, and Tita, I wonder if you can also talk a little bit about, you know, why your organization, you know, has sought to and maybe continues to, you know, seek out these partnerships with the United Way. You know, why is this a good model for you guys?
Well, I think the United Way, we're supported by two United Ways, the Great River United Way and also the Winona, or what was the Winona United Way. And it was kind of that stamp of approval. It was partnering with our local communities, and those things were important to us. I think, you know, in Winona, there are, it's hard to fundraise wherever you are. And I think, you know, having the United Way of Winona there, they over the years have given us about what, $180,000+, and that those are dollars that we didn't have to then fundraise by individual donors and that kind of thing in partnerships, and it was part of being a community, which was really, really important to us, especially in the Winona area. So, I'm not sure if I answered your question, but that's where I went. So.
Yeah. And can you talk a little bit about, you know, what are the resources required to do this sort of fundraising that the United Way provides? You know, what as a, you know, I guess what's kind of required? Is it manpower? Is it, you know, additional funding just to do outreach?
For the United Way of Winona to fundraise
for us? Yeah. Now that, you know, this service that the United Way of Winona used to provide, you know, is no longer there to kind of fill that gap, I guess. What are the resources involved?
Well, I think what we have, we're fortunate enough to have a development director who takes the lead on that and works with our donors in the Winona area and in partnerships and corporations and individuals. And, you know, so there it's manpower. Then we use our staff to be creative. Like, how else can we, you know, raise money? What can we do? We have a marketing and PR specialist who's always trying to find, you know, ways to put Family and Children's Center out there so that people are aware, an awareness campaign of who we are and what our needs are and what kind of programming that we do and why that's important and why it needs to continue to be funded. So it kind of takes that village. It takes everybody. We need to get the word out. We need to knock on a few doors and build relationships. And the United Way Winona had a lot of those partnerships and relationships already established. And so that was a beautiful thing. And now with them out of the way, are no longer serving in that role, we have to pick that up and do some of those things in order to make the funding happen.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of connections for me. They were able to introduce me to a lot of organizations and a lot of businesses down along the Mississippi River, mm-hmm. Places I don't normally get to go because we have such a big service area. And up in the Eau Claire region, too, they invited us into a lot of their workplace campaigns where we did presentations with mm-hmm. them, and really we gained a lot of exposure. And they were the ones with the connections. They were facilitating it, and it was really less work for us.
That's Dale Carls, communications coordinator for Western Dairyland, a former partner agency of the United Way of Greater Winona, here with us today to talk about the closing of the Winona United Way and how it could impact the region. Also joining us is Tita Utuk, CEO of Family and Children's Center, another former partner agency, and Mary Kay Wolf, executive director of Great Rivers United Way. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. You know, and Mary Kay, I think it's interesting that both Dale and Tita mentioned that United Way is kind of a seal of approval for them, you know, and kind of a reputation sort of thing. And so, you know, I as we're kind of seeing changes in the way people give, whether it's, you know, increased in these sort of startup campaigns or, you know, giving online, you know, I wonder if how important that is to people who are looking to give money to charities, you know, and that they're not getting that on just any organization.
I think it's more and more important as we go into the electronic stages of it's easier and easier to give directly to an organization. But it takes more and more time to research an organization, and people don't necessarily have that kind of time. So there's a great portion of the population that does look to United Way to do that vetting for them and to make those kinds of decisions for them and say, you know, I want to, they'll say, I want to give, I want to help, I just don't know where to start. So United Way is kind of that brand that says, we've started for you. So we've certified these partners. We are approving these programs. And, you know, it's not an instant stamp of approval. And I think that that's important for people to know, too, is we really do make the programs and the agencies go through some processes here to prove that they're financially solvent, that they have good governing boards, that they are living up to the standards of what we want our donors to be able to be comfortable in giving. So it's not, we don't take that role lightly. And our partners will tell you that we do create some certification annually. They have to do this. They have to provide a lot of paperwork. So it's a good thing. And again, it's a good investment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and can you talk a little bit about the, I guess, areas that you guys try to address the areas of need within the community?
Yeah, we actually have been doing a needs assessment in the communities that we serve for the past, I would say since about 1995, we do the Compass Report. Again, that's a very collective process. We do it with the county health departments, with the medical facilities in the six counties that we serve. So there are six counties that are taking part in that needs assessment. And when the needs assessment is completed and we publish every 3 years, then we say to the partners that are asking for funds, here's what Compass identified as the needs. What need is your program addressing based on that result? So we have 4 years always had Compass as the center of the applications that come in. Very recently, just in 2016, we established a couple of goals, and we'll be doing more in terms of specifically within Compass, not this generic, you know, health, education, income, and community basics. So within health, one of the goals in health is prevention and treatment of mental health. Does a program address mental health, basically? The other one is oral health. You know, people forget about oral health, but it drives a lot of things, and there's a big, big need in these six counties. So does the program that you're addressing, that you run, address oral health? So those are very specific. So we will establish a couple of very specific goals in within health, education, income, and community basics so that we can tell the public United Way works to prevent or to treat mental health. It's very specific.
Are you anticipating that, you know, the next Compass report that you guys do will look different now that you are adding Buffalo and Trempealeau counties to the mix?
No, actually it won't, because Buffalo and Trempealeau counties have been in the mix of the Compass report for the past, Trempealeau specifically, for the past 10 years. We added Buffalo, ironically added Buffalo to the Compass report last year. So it was maybe, there was foreshadowing going on or something. So it won't look different. We're just going to do business as usual. Now, the change is actually that we are allowed to do fundraising in these counties, and then we can get partners from those counties in terms of funded partners.
Can you talk a little bit more about, you know, why that's different, why that's important?
The fundraising, yeah, and allocating funds? Well, for one thing, there's not a lot of nonprofit organizations in Trempealeau and Buffalo County. So the few that are located there don't have a lot of resources. They really don't have the ability. You know, Western Dairyland is fairly large. Family and Children's Center is fairly large. But smaller nonprofits don't have the kind of development staff. Their programming comes first. I mean, that's most organizations, that's the truth. But they don't have the ability for a development staff. So when it comes to United Way's role for them, we are their development arm. And so when you're in smaller counties or less populated counties, that becomes just as important as well. So the challenge, I think, will be raising money in counties where there's less population and less businesses. But we've never taken a stance of well, we're going to give out the money we raise in Monroe County, or we're going to give out only the money in Buffalo County that we raised in Buffalo County. We've never had that type of policy because some counties have more money than others, and we're all in this together.
Mary Kay Wolf, Executive Director of Great Rivers United Way, is here with us today to talk about how regional nonprofits and United Way chapters are moving forward after Winona's United Way closed its doors at the end of December. She's joined by Dale Carles, Communications Coordinator for Western Dairyland, a former partner agency of the United Way of Greater Winona, and Tita Utek, CEO of Family and Children's Center, another former partner agency. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on area United Way organizations. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the closing of the United Way of Greater Winona. The charitable organization served programs in both Wisconsin and Minnesota, and after a multi-year decline in donors, was forced to shut its doors at the end of December. Joining us to talk about how the change might impact regional nonprofits are Mary Kay Wolf, Executive Director of the Great Rivers United Way, Dale Carles, Communications Coordinator for Western Dairyland, a community action agency based in Independence, and a former partner agency of Winona's United Way, and Tita Utek, CEO of Family and Children's Center, another former partner agency. And so we've been obviously talking about, you know, how both of your, Dale and Tita, both of your organizations have been impacted. But, you know, I want to kind of get into the specifics. And Dale, can you talk a little bit about the, you know, the programs that the Winona United Way was funding?
Sure. They funded two of our programs specifically. We have seven homeless shelters scattered throughout the four-county region, and there is one in Mondovi in Buffalo County and one in Blair. And each of those is a fully furnished apartment where a family with children can stay for a one-month period until they get back on their feet. So those were funded by the Winona United Way. And that's a program where we have already cut staff, and we now have one case manager who covers all four counties, drives around constantly, trying to help seven families at one time. And then we've cut hours for a program manager also. So we're already cutting where we can. And if we lose this funding, it could put those that program in jeopardy. The other program that the Winona United Way funded was our RSVP Volunteer Caregivers Program. That one's relatively new, where there are a lot of low-income seniors who want to remain living in their homes. These are people who do not qualify for certain programs, but if they were forced to pay for home care, it would really stretch their budget. So we line up volunteers to come in and visit with them on a weekly basis or twice a week, do errands for them, do small chores for them, and quite often it's just visiting. It's really neat to see how there are some individuals in their 70s or 80s who they're doing okay. They just want to stay in their homes, and they need someone to visit with them once or twice a week. So that program also received funding from Winona, and we were looking at expanding it, possibly to Buffalo County, because Tremplo and Buffalo County are very, very rural, very sparse population, and there are a lot of isolated individuals out there who need that service. Right now, that expansion is put on hold, because we can't do it without the Winona funding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how much funding did you lose to the Winona?
You know, that is hard to say. Let's see. It combined, it's more than $10,000. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, can you talk, obviously there's a need for those programs, you know, in those communities, but, you know, can you talk a little bit about, you know, why those issues are particularly important for those counties?
Oh, sure. Those, I think you mentioned it earlier, Mary, there are very few nonprofits in Buffalo and Tremplo counties. We are the only homeless shelter in Buffalo County and Tremplo County. We are the only free volunteer caregiver service in those counties. So while the population is smaller, the number of service providers is not there either. So the services are needed even more. If we cease to offer these services, there's nobody else there. That's why it's so important.
And Tita, you know, I know you mentioned the names of the programs that were impacted earlier, but, you know, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, those services?
Sure. There are two specific programs that the money from the United Way Winona funded. One of them was Maddie's Place. Maddie's Place is a child advocacy center, which is a center that's designed to minimize the trauma to child abuse victims by providing support and assistance to the entire family. Last year, we served 43 families, and the previous year, there were 79 families that we served. Without that funding, and if that program were to close, then those victims of child abuse would be impacted. And of course, that would not be a good thing. The only other child advocacy center in southeastern Minnesota is up in Rochester. So the need is real heavy in that Winona area. The other program is our outpatient counseling program. In the last 2 years, we've served 220 individuals. So again, it's a program that provides individual family group therapies, trying to get in there and help families who are struggling with a myriad of issues, drugs and alcohol, depression, anxiety, child behavior problems, the whole gamut. And we have qualified staff that that do that. And again, we're not looking to close those programs, but if we had to cut it back, it's just, I mean, there were 220 that were served in the last 2 years, so that would be unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this comes at a time when, you know, a lot of United Ways across the country are working on their annual campaign. And, you know, Mary Kay, we already kind of talked a little bit about the Great Rivers campaign this year, but I wonder if you can, you know, talk a little bit more about how this year's campaign went.
Well, it's not over yet. We go till January 31st, and thanks for the opportunity to say that we are falling short of our goal. We have a goal of $2,085,000. That goal is not created with a dart and a dartboard. We create that goal based on past requests for grants and monies from the agencies. So we try to raise the goal every year because the need goes up every year. And so if we can't get to that $2,085,000, we know we'll have to do some cutting of some programming that was getting funded. $2,085,000 is maintaining where people will be. And so we hope to increase, but right now we're running about $185,000 short of that goal. So if if somebody hasn't given to United Way yet, or if they feel like, you know, they want to give a little more, or this would be a really, really good time to do that. Yeah. So,
and have you guys, has this been a problem for you guys in the past to not meet your goals?
You know, the goal in the past 4 or 5 years, the goal has been met. Before that, it was kind of a 50-50. Sometimes it was, sometimes it wasn't. Since I've been here almost 4 years, and we've made the goal every time. I don't think that I take credit for that, but I what I would like is that we always make the goal. I just think that that's, it's good for the community. It's good for the community to pull together and to reach for something together. And it's feels good to say, hey, we all did this and we all made this goal. So it's important. It's a good feel thing, but it also translates into where that money gets allocated and who's getting it and who isn't getting it.
Why do you think that you know, you're possibly seeing less funding this year?
Well, you know, times are tough. Economics, when you look at, ironically, United Way helped pay for an Alice report that came out about over the state of Wisconsin. And the Cooley region area, you know, 44% of people in that area, the areas we serve, are considered ALICE, asset limited income constrained employees. So they just don't have it. They don't have the money. And truthfully, you know, competition is high. Our agencies are out there trying to make money. We're out there trying to raise money. Everybody that's not a partner of ours is out there trying to raise money. I mean, Salvation Army isn't meeting their goal, and so you hear about that. It's just there's a lot of high level competition for funds, mm-hmm. and only so many people to give it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's competition has increased?
I do. This area has a lot of nonprofit organizations, a lot of good organizations, and everybody's reaching out to the same people for money. So, you know, really, really giving area, very, very philanthropic, and they're trying to do what they can to support the community. So, you know, it's tough. We've got businesses where the United Way is unique in the ability to do workplace campaigns and payroll deductions. So we are very grateful for that opportunity, but we have a lot of businesses in the area that don't run those campaigns. And but very, very giving companies. So we don't look at that and say, well, you're not generous at all just because you don't give to United Way, but we know that they give. So would we like them to do United Way campaigns? Of course. But we do know that it's not everybody's cup of tea, too.
So. Yeah. Are you hopeful that, you know, by kind of bringing Buffalo and Trempealeau counties into the fold, that you're going to be able to reach out to previous partners from those areas of the, you know, the Winona United Way?
I don't know who was partners with, you know, Winona United Way. I have a pretty good feel, and my initial feel is that there weren't very many in Buffalo and Trempealeau counties. I think their bulk of their funding, and I'm speaking out of turn maybe, but I think the bulk of their funding came from the Winona specifically community. But there are some businesses in Buffalo and Trempealeau County that we have our sights on, and we'll be reaching out to them to see if they wouldn't be community-minded to run some campaigns.
Yeah, and TITA as a organization that kind of is in those areas, I mean, is that kind of your sense as well that, you know, there aren't as many places that are, you know, available to give in Buffalo and Trempealeau counties?
I actually don't know much about Buffalo and Trempealeau counties, but I would imagine that to be true. I don't know if Dale knows.
No.
Yeah.
It's true. There's also, I think, the geography of Trempealeau County complicates matters a bit. The county really runs from just south of Eau Claire all the way to La Crosse.
Yep.
So people living in the northern part, we're talking Osseo and Oliva, really look to Eau Claire as their economic hub. That's where they want to give, that's where they shop, that's where they work. And then when you get south of Independence and Whitehall, they start looking towards La Crosse as their economic hub. So I don't know how that's going to complicate things for you. when you're going up to northern Trempealeau County, and you're representing yourself as somebody from La Crosse, I think you might be viewed as an outsider.
Absolutely, it's tougher
south. We have programs in Galesville, Ettrick, Trempealeau, the GET area. And many times when I go down there for Head Start or for our volunteer caregiver program, I do feel like I'm out of my area. But no, it's firmly in our service area.
But here's what we have done with that approach. We serve six counties, and that's a big geographic footprint. So we reach into Monroe County and serve Toma and Sparta. But Toma and Sparta don't want to hear that we're in La Crosse. And I don't blame them. They're their own communities. They have their own needs. So we have to be a different United Way for Toma and a different United Way for Sparta, a different United Way for Whitehall than we are maybe in La Crosse. And that's a tough thing to do, but it's possible. And so in our strategic plan of Great Rivers United Way, we're looking to find out how can we serve these communities as that community needs us. What can we be for them that they need and can get the most impact from?
That's Mary Kay Wolf, Executive Director of Great Rivers United Way, here with us today to talk about the closing of the Winona United Way and how it could impact the region. Also joining us is Dale Carls from Western Dairyland and Tita Utek from Family and Children's Center, both former partner agencies of the United Way of Greater Winona. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And, you know, Dale, do you think that people are still as motivated to give to charitable organizations? Do you think that, do you think that we're seeing a decline in people, looking for ways to give back to these sorts of community organizations?
I don't think there's a decline. I speak to a lot of groups. I go out and meet with a lot of people who are willing to give their time and open up their checkbooks and make donations. They really need to connect with the nonprofit that is making the ask. And as a nonprofit, we need to continually search for new groups to connect with. We can't just keep going back to the same places. I think there can be some complacency. We have relied on federal funds for so many years, decades, and so have other community action agencies. And we've really had to change our approach in recent years. And the same thing goes for when we go out into the community and ask for donations. It's just we have to keep going out there, keep telling our story. That's a big part of it. And the United Way actually helps us do that, to go into these communities and tell our story. I don't think people are more reluctant to give. But in my experience, the amounts have been less. I don't know how universal that experience is, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tito, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm thinking, when I think about the giving, La Crosse, Winona, where we serve, people are very philanthropic and very giving. But there's a new generation coming in and trying to reach out to the millennials, a very large population, and they're very mission-driven. But they also want nonprofits to be accountable for the money. We need to be good stewards of the money. We need to better tell our stories, because people want to know that their money is making a difference, that it's serving X amount of people, that because of that funding, these folks are getting better, whatever that looks like. If they get these services, they're better off for it. And I think we as nonprofit agencies have to find ways to tell our stories, and we have to reach out to younger and different groups and challenge them a little bit. And I think, I think it's all doable. I think people are very, very giving, but they also don't want funding to be in duplicate agencies. So I think in many of the communities that we provide services, and it's about not duplicating services. It's about collaborating with other agencies, because no donor wants to have competing programs that are doing the exact same thing. And how do they pick and choose? So making sure that we're diversified, that we're collaborating, that we are telling our story and giving outcomes and providing outcomes. This is also a data-driven world, and we have to do that better and not just tell anecdotal stories, which are lovely and fine. They have a place, but it's also the other stuff, and I think we'll be okay. But it's different, but I don't necessarily think it's less. It's just different.
Yeah. And Dale, you mentioned earlier that Western Dairyland has been seeing these changes kind of happening over the last few years. What do you think is kind of driving this? I mean, is there something kind of underlying that's changing?
Oh, that is a good question. I have not been around for the long history of community action agencies. They've been around since 1966, so 50 years now. So my experience with them is very limited. But I do see people having different attitudes about what nonprofits should and shouldn't do. There's a little bit of that. People have very specific ideas on what they want their money to do. And nonprofits need to pay the bills. We need to keep the lights on. We need facilities and computers to do our jobs. We need to pay mileage for our case managers who drive around to the homeless shelters. And many times it's the staff salaries pay for the case managers and the Head Start teachers who are delivering the services. And not everyone understands that. I've had a lot of discussions with people explaining, what donations can do for our clients. So there is a bit of a shift in people's mindsets in recent years. People are paying more attention, they're doing their research, and they are becoming a bit more skeptical of nonprofits.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you bring up that, you know, people's donations go to keep Western Dayland and other nonprofits, you know, going.
Costs, yeah.
Yeah, and that's I don't think that's the attractive part of giving.
Nobody wants their donations to go to what they will say is overhead.
Yeah.
And it's really ironic in nonprofit world because we don't want to pay salaries with our donation, but the salary is paying the person who's running the program. So they have to be able to see that it's really all about the relationships when you're working with in a nonprofit organization. You can't have a program without the person, and you got to pay the person. So,
Absolutely. And Mary Kay, you know, we talked earlier about several instances of United Way's merging or together to kind of serve broader areas. And I wonder if you think this is probably something that will continue to happen.
Well, I think it will. I think there's still a very large number of small United Ways, and they do great work. But it gets more and more challenging, and so I think that regionalization of United Ways is going to it's going to keep going. It's tougher though than when you regionalize, because, like I say, we cover six counties, which is a huge footprint, and that's not even all of the zip codes that were assigned. I mean, we could serve areas that are almost 2 hours away from us. So as Dale said about driving, your case managers are always driving. Unless you put offices, you know, in each one of those places, you're always going to be driving to serve those areas.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like when you lose a smaller United Way, I mean, is there any worry that you'll lose kind of touch with the community, lose those kind of connections?
I think it's possible. I think that's a danger of regionalizing United Ways. And I think the pendulum swings. I think what Tita said earlier, what's old is new again. And I think sometimes when you swing the pendulum really far to one direction, and this might happen in Winona too. You know, Winona may say as a community, wow, we just need one organization that's going to bring us all together and realize, oh, we had that. So I think, you know, as you swing a pendulum one way and think this is the answer, and you realize, well, maybe we swung it a little too far, and maybe we're just going to readjust and bring it back to center. So I guess that would be the thing that I hope that doesn't get too far, and that there's things that get lost or fall through the cracks during that time frame. But I think they'll bring the pendulum back down and get back to the local community, which, you know, as I said, trying to be the United Way that Tolma needs or Sparta needs, or Whitehall or whatever county we're in at the time. So
yeah, and you know, just kind of looking forward now that the Winona United Way has closed. Dale, you know, I guess what is Western Dairyland really, I guess, focused on in the near future as you guys are kind of moving forward?
Immediately we're focused on the Great Rivers United Way. and we appreciate you meeting with us and hopefully working with us in the future. We will look at other funding sources. Over in Jackson County, too, there's a lot of funding sources over there that we can expand into. But we're going to look at everything there is, and we always have. The United Way is just a very good partner for us. It's a mutually beneficial partnership, I think, that works very well. So I hope we can work with Great Rivers very soon.
And Tita, I would pose the same question that, you know, kind of moving forward, what's the battle plan for Family and Children's Center?
Similar to Western Dairyland, we'll be turning over every rock that there is. You know, as he indicated, we've always done that. But we'll go back to our corporate partners, to our individual friends in Winona and that area. We're looking at the businesses that are in the area and local foundations. We're also trying to be creative with events, and are there events and things that we need to develop in the coming years for Winona County that might raise some dollars to support the two programs in particular that were previously being supported by the United Way of Winona. So we're trying to be creative. We were talking about fun runs and color runs and walks and, you know, looking at the return on investment for those kinds of things. So we're trying to be creative, and we're trying to continue to spread awareness in terms of what Family and Children's Center does in that community, and we remain hopeful.
And Mary Kay, you know, what do you think the future of United Way looks like in light of all these different issues we've talked about today?
I think the future of United Way is good. I do. As long as we're evolving and changing with the environment that we're working within, and Great Rivers United Way is doing that. I know that other United Ways are doing that. So I think as long as you can be nimble and flexible, I think it's a good future.
We've been talking with Mary Kay Wolf, Executive Director of the Great Rivers United Way in La Crosse, Dale Carls from Western Dairyland, and TDU Tech from Family and Children's Center, both partner agencies of the now closed United Way of Greater Winona, about the closing of the Winona United Way and how area nonprofits are moving forward. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.